Thanks, Warwick. How do I find the time? I retired a few years ago and I've put my hand up for a couple of these ministries. So, and the one I'm going to talk about this morning is the Kairos Prison Ministry. Now, some of you, I guess, have heard of it. Some know a bit about it. Some may know nothing about it. But hopefully by the end of this talk this morning, you'll have a bit more of an idea, an understanding of what's a very interesting and, I guess, vital ministry. I'll give you a bit of an outline of what I'm going to go through, and what I'll do is I'll stop after each sort of session and give you a chance to ask questions rather than having to save them up to the end. So, okay, what I'm going to talk about, why we have a ministry to prisoners. Then, secondly, what is Kairos? Then a little bit about my journey, how I got involved in Kairos. A little bit about Goulburn Correctional Centre, which is where I do my ministry. What actually happens in the ministry? The question, does it make a difference? You know, is it worth me spending time going up and doing that? And how can you help? How can you be involved? So that's what I'm going to cover. But the first thing I think we have on the agenda is to have a look at our first Bible reading. So, Warwick.
Our Bible reading is from Isaiah 61, verses 1 to 2. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted, and to proclaim the captives will be released, and prisoners will be freed. He has sent me to tell those who mourn that the time of the Lord's favour has come, and with it, the day of the God's anger against their enemies. May God add his blessing to that reading from his holy word.
Thanks, Warwick. For our reflection, I guess God is indicating there his father heart, his care and concern for those who are hurting and in difficult situations. I want you just to reflect simply on the quantity quality of God's love for you personally and for others. Leonie, if we could have our second reading.
The biblical focus here is on Luke 4, 14 to 21. Then Jesus returned to Galilee, filled with the Holy Spirit's power. Reports about him spread quickly through the whole region. He taught regularly in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to the village of Nazareth, his boyhood home, he went as usual to the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read the scriptures. The scroll of Isaiah, the prophet, was handed to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where this was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favour has come. He rolled up the scroll, handed it back to the attendant, and sat down. All eyes in the synagogue looked at him intently. Then he began to speak to them. The scripture you've just heard has been fulfilled this very day.
Thanks, Leonie. So, very similar passage to the first one, in that Jesus reveals that he himself, in other words, this very day, is God's agent to achieve those things in his earthly ministry. And if it's Jesus' mission, then it happens to be ours too. So think of those that you know who may be hurting and in need of God's love today. How could you be that practical agent of God for them? Before I start, I'd like to start with a prayer. And I'm going to take a prayer from what's called a little freedom guide to each of the guys who does our short course in prison. We give them this little booklet, and in it has a number of prayers, the Lord's prayers in there, Psalm 23, prayer of St. Francis. There's some morning prayers. There's some specific prayers for them. And it's something that they can take back to themselves and have a look at and read and pray over themselves. But we use it on the short course. And before we start each talk on the short course, the speaker and the guys all read this, what we call Kairos Community Prayer, together. And I thought, well, I mean, it's just as appropriate for us here because it talks about community and seeking God's will. So I'll just read it. It's just a short one. And it goes, Jesus, come join us in our journey as we seek your will for this community in this environment. Teach us to love each other as you love us, to give ourselves as you give yourself, that the kingdom of God might be made present to all. Amen. So you can see they're reading it in their community, in their environment, but we can read it in our community, in our environment. Okay, so I guess why a ministry to prisoners? So we've just read those passages, like the one in Luke 4:18, where Jesus announced his mission by reading that passage from Isaiah. I'll just read that one line again, and I'm reading from the NIV. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. Have you ever thought, we as a church, we preach the gospel, we pray for healing, we look after those who are hurting. So those other things in that list. But what do we do for the prisoners, the captives? Now, I mean, Warwick alluded before that that people can be prisoners or captives of situations and circumstances of their own or others' making without actually being in prison. So, you know, you think of those who are trapped in addictions such as drugs, alcohol, gambling, or trapped in a cycle of poverty, or trapped in a cycle of materialism, wanting to keep up with the Joneses, wanting each new electronic gadget as it's released, or trapped in an abusive marriage, etc. We can be captives of lots of things. And of course, Jesus came to set us free from all those things and all those circumstances that stop us from having a full relationship with him. But he also came, literally, to minister to those who are incarcerated in prison. And if it was his ministry, and we are trying to become more like him and focus on what was important to him, then it becomes our ministry too. Now, can Sheila, I need you to read the next one.
Looking at Matthew 25, verses 31 to 46. But when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit upon his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered in his presence, and he will separate people, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep at his right hand, and the goats at his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me into your home. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me." Then these righteous ones will reply, "Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink, or a stranger and show you hospitality, or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you?" And the king will say, "I tell you the truth, when you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me." Then the king will turn to those on the left and say, "Away with you, you cursed ones, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his demons. For I was hungry and you didn't feed me. I was thirsty and you didn't give me a drink. I was a stranger and you didn't invite me into your home. I was naked and you didn't give me clothing. I was sick and in prison and you didn't visit me." And they will reply, "Lord, when did we ever see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and not help you?" And he will answer, "I tell you the truth, when you refuse to help the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you are refusing to help me. And they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous will go into eternal life."
Thanks, Sheila. That's a little bit uncomfortable, that passage. It makes me uncomfortable, because I do all those things. Jesus is saying that ultimately, how a person treats others will reveal whether or not they are saved. So, again, as a church, we try to assist those who are in need. We have a food bank, an op shop. We support Baptist World Aid, Compassion. We do hospital visits. We visit those in the Bupa nursing home. I think that some people are still doing it. Yeah. But what do we do for those in prison? A couple of points to reflect on then. I guess the first one is, why as a group do prisoners get a special mention for Jesus in those Bible readings that we've had so far? Why are they singled out as a special group? And secondly, think about it. Jesus, Paul, Peter, James, John the Baptist, etc., were all prisoners at some point. And of course, in many parts of the world, even today, people are in prison for their belief in Jesus. If those historical figures were here today, or even if today's persecuted Christians were incarcerated here in Canberra, would it be on your radar to visit them in prison? Now, there's a couple of things to think about. Okay, I haven't put a guilt trip on anybody. That's sort of not my intention. And the good news is that we haven't forgotten the prisoners, because there are some from our church involved in a prison ministry, and there are some from our church who are involved in visits to out to the Bimbury, out to the youth remand centre there. So let me tell you a little bit about Kairos. I've been going into Goulburn Correctional Centre with this ministry for the last 11 years. And so where does that word Kairos come from? Well, it's a New Testament Greek word, and it means God's special time. So when we're going in there, it is a special time for the guys in prison. It's also a special time for us who are on the team. And our mission in Kairos is to share the transforming love and forgiveness of Jesus Christ, to impact the hearts and lives of incarcerated men, women and youth, as well as their families, to become loving and productive citizens of their communities. So all high and mighty. I guess we'll talk about later on whether we actually, you know, achieve those sort of things, but that's what we're intending to do. So Kairos is about opening a hole in the wall so that God can pour his love in. The first and essential message of Kairos is that God loves you. Often the guys that we're seeing have pretty low self-esteem. They're down on themselves. And one of the first messages that we're trying to get across is that you are special. God loves you. It really doesn't matter what you have done. God still loves you. And that's the same for each one of us, isn't it? We're all sinners. And no matter what we have done, God still loves us. So, the love, how do we show it? It's shown through the Kairos team members. Kairos is not about changing people's beliefs, but it is to listen and love, not to preach and change minds. In fact, to be allowed into the jail, we have to actually sign that we're not going to proselytise, that we're not going to Bible bash. But we are overtly Christian, and we do Christian things and what have you, and it is through the love and the way that we do it, not the preaching to them, that we are hoping to cause change. So the motto of Kairos is listen, listen, love, love. Yeah, okay. One mouth, two ears. Listen, listen, love, love. Often the guys who come in will say, we feel that this is a safe place. We feel that we can come in the prison. There's nowhere where we can go where we're not watching our back. We can come in here, we're safe. We feel that you guys respect us, you treat us as equal, you listen to what we have to say to our stories, you actually keep coming back. You're demonstrating that love. And that has builds up the trust, and that's probably the start of us being able to then talk to them about Jesus. So we demonstrate in our life the kingdom, and so it becomes attractive to those who see and hear. They want to have what we have. So Kairos is both interdenominational and ecumenical. Its programs are designed to be presented in correctional institutions. So we don't run those anywhere else. It was established here in Australia in 1995, and since then Kairos programs have been running in, I think, 24 prisons around Australia. So we're running it here in the Alexander McConaughey Centre here in Canberra. In fact, this very weekend they have a short course on. At the moment, they are meeting with the guys and running one of these courses there. They run it up at Manus, up at Tumut. They run it at Junee. And of course, they run it at Goulburn. And they're talking about reopening Berrima, and there's getting a team ready to go in there as well. Plus the Sydney Dales, Parklea and Long Bay. In fact, it started in Parramatta, and Parramatta, which is, of course, is closed. So runs in lots of places. The ministry is conducted in cooperation with the chaplains. So we have to be invited in. And so there are a couple of jails where the chaplains, for whatever reason, haven't heard of Kairos or don't like Kairos, and so Kairos is not in those jails. But we have been very fortunate in Goulburn, where I've been. We have had the chaplains who have been interested in this program. We have a very supportive administration and what have you, once they see the benefit that Kairos can actually bring. Now, when Kairos is running their programs, there seems to be a bit of a peace, and the jail is often more settled. It's run by teams of laity and clergy. The teams are selected. In other words, you volunteer and yes, you, okay, that's the selection bit. But you are then trained up. We go through a training program. We have to do online courses with the security section of the jail and what have you. We have to go through all their approval processes. So we're approved by the correctional institutions as volunteers to go in. So you couldn't say, oh, I want to go into jail and come with me next Thursday when I go up there. No. You've got to be approved by Kairos, you've got to be trained by us so you know what you're doing, and you've got to be approved by the jail and jump through all their hoops. Teams, as I say, they're ecumenical, they're interdenominational. We come from all sorts of churches. The team that we have at the moment up in Goulburn, we have Roman Catholic, we have Anglican, we have C3, so the charismatic side of things, we have Uniting, we have Baptist, we have a Russian Orthodox priest, although he's sick at the moment, and we even have a lady who's on our outside team who belongs to the Society of Friends. So we, as I say, cover all spectrum, and what's important with our team is not the things that divide us and we do differently, but the things that we have in common. And the main thing that we have in common is we all love Jesus. Yeah. And where we come from, the team that goes into Goulburn Jar, we have people from Canberra, we have people from Goulburn, we have people from Gunning, from Yass, from Crookwell, from Bundanoon, Bowell, Mittagong and Moss Vale going in. So again, we're drawn from a wide area. I'll stop there at this point. Do you have any questions about Kairos itself?
Yeah, I've got one. What sort of course, what's actually the content of the course that you were talking about?
Okay, yeah. We run a short course, and it is a basic course in Christianity. So we have a number of talks and other activities. We start off, the first talk is about choices. So we get them to fake, somebody gives a talk on choices, and then there's discussion, and the guys can talk about it and what have you. So they focus on the choices that they've made in their life. And there's no mention of God in that first talk. But of course it comes up in the discussion that one of the choices, you know, you can make is to think about God and to follow God and to take God into account in making your decisions. And we go through a whole series of steps about being friends with God. You know, and they can't believe that God would want to be a friend with them, somebody who's done what they've done. So we talk about, have a talk about that. We have a talk about opening the door, which is opening the door and letting Jesus come in. And then we go on with talks about Christian action and things like that, and finish up with, you know, sort of hanging in there. You know, okay, your next step, we're going to leave you and you're going to go back into the prison. How are you going to handle things? You've had a good time over this short course. You might have changed a bit. You might now be wanting to follow Jesus, but how are you going to do it? How are you going to not drift away? So that's the sort of program that we run.
Wayne, yeah. I was trying to get an idea of the dynamics and the size. You've got a team of, say, six or seven that go in.
Yeah.
And how many of the folk from the prison go in? And the chaplain?
Yeah, okay. We run our program in the visitor centre at minimum security. And so what we can do, and I know it's the same at Alexander McConaughey, what you can do is limited to the size of the facility. So when we're running a short course, because we're dividing it up into table groups, and you know, tables for, we feed them there, and you're going to need tables to eat at as well, we can take 18 prisoners. So those 18 prisoners would be divided into three tables, so six prisoners on each table, along with three team members. So you'd have prisoner, prisoner, team, prisoner, prisoner, team, prisoner, prisoner, team on a round table. So each guy is next to a prisoner. There's a prisoner on each side. Each prisoner has a team member next to them. There would also be somebody who'd be doing the music. There'd be somebody who'd be timing and coordinating. There'd be others who are doing servants. Somebody who is looking after our little chapel that we set up for the day and what have you. So we have a team of probably minimum about 12 and probably up to, you know, sort of 18 as well. You have a runner, and then there would be a team outside as well. So it takes considerable resources here. And I'll do a little bit more about the program a little bit later on. So how did I get involved in this? Initially a friend, John, in fact I hadn't thought about prison at all, like most people, it's not something that's on my radar. But a friend, John Simmons, a lot of you may know John actually was part of this church for a while. He's down at Nation's Heart or whatever it's called now. It's called something else, I think, isn't it?
I think it's
Yeah. But anyway, yeah, John Simmons, I was in a home group with John and what have you. I was friends with him. He was talking about, he was involved in Kairos, and he was talking about it, saying that they were looking for a team for their next short course in Golden Jail. And at that time, Alexander McConaughey wasn't established. So anyone from Canberra who wanted to do prison ministry did it up in Golden Jail. And he mentioned that, and okay, it sparked a little bit with me, but you know, I just sort of filed it away. And I was working with the Department of Industry at the time, and we just moved into a new building, and teams had got mixed up a bit, mixed around and what have you. And on the floor that I was on, we had, you know, lunchrooms where you could go and get a coffee and what have you. And I was down in the lunchroom one day, and somebody else that I knew, I don't know, people that may not know Phil and Wendy Bloomfield. Okay, Phil Bloomfield, he was working there on a contract, an IT contract, and I knew Phil. I'd been in a home group, small group with him at another church years before, and it is a small world in Canberra. But I said, "Oh, what are you doing?" And he said, "Oh, you know, I'm busy at the moment." He said, "I'm putting together the team for the next short course up in Golden Jail." I said, "Oh, John Simmons has spoken to me about that and said you were looking for team, are you?" And he said, "Oh, yes." I found out later that they actually had a full team, but if somebody was keen and volunteered, they would take me on. So anyway, what I did for that first one is I ran the overhead projector for them, you know, and helped out the guy with the music, sorting out his songs and what have you. So I wasn't really needed. They had enough to cover, but they took me on. That was back in 2006. So 11 years later, I'm still involved. And so why? Why? Because I enjoyed it. I got a lot out of it doing it. It was a great team, it was a great fellowship, and I could see the difference that the program made in the lives of, and how lives were changed in the guys in jail. When I started out, I didn't bring any particular skills. I just brought myself. I was keen, I had an open mind, I was willing to do whatever was required of me. So what sort of team do we need? Basically, we divide it into two groups. There's the team that goes in, the inside team, and then there's our support team on the outside. And we have a number of very faithful ladies that do a number of things. They pack the biscuits, they prepare the meals for us, get things organised, they write letters, they pray, they do all those sorts of things. They do the things behind the scenes to support us guys who go into the jail. And both groups make up one Kairos team. What do we look for in our volunteers? Well, first is love. Kairos is a ministry of love. I mentioned before our motto, listen, listen, love, love. Do you love Jesus? Yes? Well, you've met the first criteria. Yeah, that's the main one. And because we love Jesus, we want to share his love with others. The team practices living out that loving spirit in team training. Team training is a chance to bond, to form those relationships. I have been, and I can say that's really one of the pluses for me, I have been travelling for 11 years up to Goulburn with a lovely Catholic man who lives here in Charlton. And the two of us, we have an hour up there, an hour back. We will discuss all sorts of things, how things are going in our churches, you know, the problems of the world and what have you. And it makes me appreciate more his faith, his denomination, what he's doing, and of course the same. And so we have that bond that is built up. And in fact, when we go into the jail, one of the things that the guys in prison say is, you guys really get on well together. You're not putting it on. You actually love each other and work together well. Yeah. So love is the first thing we look for in our volunteers. The second is sacrifice. People who come to the Kairos team carry all sorts of personal baggage. We come with strong opinions, personal agendas, painful memories, bad habits, hidden or unconfessed sin, and every imaginable personal burden. The team formation process helps team members lay all our stuff where it belongs. And where it belongs is at the foot of the cross. We can become vessels that Christ uses. We submit our will to Christ, and in sacrificing our selfness, we find that we too are blessed. It's only in God's economy where the more you give, the more you receive. And the third is obedience. We need obedience. We need to have a servant heart. We are called to be Christ's servants rather than people in service. When we're in service, we are still in control. We decide where and when we are willing to serve. Our agenda controls our service. But for the servant, it's the master's agenda that determines when and how they will serve. The servant adopts a spirit of obedience, the attitude of, here I am, Lord, use me. So in Kairos, that call to obedience is very important. We are guests at Goulburn Correctional Centre. We have no right or entitlement to access that place and run our program. Therefore, we need to be obedient. We need to be obedient to the chaplain, who is the officer in charge of us. We need to be obedient to the Department of Corrective Services. So sometimes we've had guards who are sticklers for the law and what have you, and they will put us through imaginable things when they're checking us and go to all sorts of lengths to make it difficult and what have you, and we just say yes sir, no sir, do whatever, yes sir. And that obedience is doing whatever they say, includes having the police check, it's filling out the numerous security forms, and there are lots and lots of them. You have to do it every year. It's doing the online course and what have you. We need to be obedient to the Kairos method and the program. We need to be obedient to the Kairos team leadership, and of course we need to be obedient to the way of Christ, the way of life of Christ, and his call, the love of God. We have had, and this obedience bit is the bit that often trips people up, because we've had people who have been good Christians and what have you, but they've come in with the wrong motives. They've come in to change the world, to change the prisoners, right? Rather than that listen, love, and be the example, and win their respect, win their trust, and then you can share. They've come in and they've wanted to Bible bash, or we've had, in the past, we've had people who have come in and they haven't been respectful of other team members and what other team members sort of believe. And so they might have rubbished part of their belief or what have you. So those sort of people, we haven't obviously asked them back there. But any questions?
Yes.
Jeff.
Oh, sorry. Did you ever come into contact with Pastor Paul Noble? Did he?
Did
he inspire you in any way? Because his background was
In fact, I was thinking we've had a couple, Steve Smith as well, that we had. He had been a time in prison, and Paul had. We used Paul as a speaker up there for our closing ceremony 1 year. I invited him up and he came up and talked to the prisoners and gave a little bit of his story. At our closing ceremony, we had a ceremony at the end that where the guys graduated from the course that we have run, and so we actually present them with a cross, and then the community comes in, some of the Christian community comes in, and we have a speaker who's usually been somebody who's spent some time in jail themselves and made good, to give them a, you know, an example. Hey, I've been in the place you've been, I've turned my life around, I follow Jesus, and look where I've got now. So yes, there's Paul was one of those people.
There's one supplementary. In all your teams in recent years, have you have a teammate who's in a men's shed? Has a men's shed ever come up as part of the conversation?
No, it hasn't.
I think that could play a role for them.
Often, one of the big problems is we do this program, but then the guys are released from jail. And they're released from jail, and unless they have some support, some family support or a church to go to, some church support, then they will find it very difficult to get a job. They will often find it difficult to get accommodation. They end up often going back to the place that they've been, to the friends they had before, and they fall back into the same old trap. So yes, if there are things like men's shed and churches, you know, if we find out that somebody's going to a certain area, we'll try and recommend some churches to them or something like that. Things that they can get involved in. Now, I'll come to you. I'll better go to Ivan.
Mine's a simple question. The prison chaplain, is he a Christian or a chaplain in name only?
No. We have been very lucky in Goulburn. We've had a Roman Catholic chaplain that's been appointed by the Roman Catholic Church over a number of years. They have been very supportive. The Archbishop of Canberra, Goulburn, his surname was Carroll, I don't know what his first name was. He actually, when they started Kairos in Goulburn Jail, he was on the team. So he went in as a team. So they have supported it very strongly. We had Sister Loretta, who was a nun. She was a chaplain. She was wonderful. I can remember one of the guys who was probably a little bit slow, putting his arm around Sister Loretta and saying, "Sister, you're just like us." In other words, she could relate to them. We also have an Anglican chaplain in there. At the moment, they've divided up, so the Roman Catholic chaplain is looking after minimum security, so she's looking after us. Yes, she is a Christian. They've always been Christian people that are supporting us, not just in name. The Anglican fellow, Ross, he's looking after us at the moment. But he's in the main jail. He's looking after us at the moment because Julie is off doing the walk to Camino. Yeah. So, yeah, they fully supportive of us. And if they weren't Christian, they wouldn't be inviting us in. You know? Yeah. Sorry, I don't know your name.
Claire. I get the feeling from what you've been saying that it's mainly the men who go into the prison. And not women. So do you have a women's group that go into women's prisons?
Yeah, okay. Because I'm talking about Goulburn is a men's prison, and so the team is men. Right. But Kairos runs in women's prisons. I know Berrima used to be a women's prison. They used to have the team there that used to go in. I've met some of the ladies who go into, I forget the name of it, silver water, but it's there, and they do exactly the same thing as the women's team. There is also, and I'm not going to sort of talk about it, but Kairos also runs programs for those on the outside. So it's called Kairos Outside. So there is a group in Canberra that is called Kairos Outside for women. So often the guys in jail, they're incarcerated, but often their family are doing it just as tough, right? And so as a way of ministering to them, we offer a course where, in this particular case, it's the partners of guys who are in prison. They are invited along for a weekend away out at Green Hills, out on the cotter there. All expenses paid. The ladies are picked up, they're taken there, and they have a course, and they are showered with love and gifts and everything, made to really feel special. Again, it's Christian based, and there are Christian talks and what have you, but they are made to feel that they are not alone, they don't have to do it on their own. So there is that program as well, and they've now started up Kairos Outside for Men, because you know, there are ladies who are in prison, and there are husbands and partners and mothers and fathers and brothers out there that are living it tough because the females are in jail. Mm-hmm.
So there's a women's group that could work out
Alexander McConaughey. Alexander McConaughey doesn't have enough women, I think, to run the program. Even though there are women in there, it's only a men's team that are in there at the moment.
Okay.
Yeah. Because they're mainly males there.
Well, that's something to pray on.
Yeah. Okay, I'll move on. How much time have I got? We're still all right?
In negative, but it's fine.
A little bit about Goulburn Correctional Centre, okay, because that's where I'm sort of doing it. We call them correctional centres. That's what the Department of Justice in the New South Wales government calls them. And in fact, within Goulburn, and in fact within most prisons, there are a number of jails. So within Goulburn, there is the minimum security jail, there is the maximum security jail, and there is a supermax, or a high, what do they call it? It's got a special name, high something or other. No, I can't. High Risk Management Centre, commonly called the supermax. That was opened in September 2001. So that's the first such facility in Australia to get it. And so Goulburn is the highest security prison in Australia. So even though we're in minimum security, if you look at that picture on the order of service there, on the back there, sometimes the guys in minimum security play up. When they play up, they talk about getting sent over the wall. So you can see the guard tower. The guard in that guard tower will have a rifle with them. They are told to shoot anyone who is escaping. Right? You shoot. They're armed. Over the wall on the other side is the main guard and the main jail. We're here behind the razor wire and behind that fencing minimum security. So we still have to go through all the checking. It's still got the razor wire and we're still locked in. Great big locks and what have you, but it's minimum security. And we use that visitor centre to run our programs. The guys that we're ministering to are usually there for about 3 to 5 years. They're short, what we call short-termers. They could be somebody who's done something serious, they've been in the main, and they're now getting towards the end of their sentence, so they're sort of gradually making it a little bit, life a little bit easier for them and what have you. or there are people who have done something that in the scheme of things is not as serious. So it's something related to drugs, to alcohol abuse, could be a traffic offence, you know, kill somebody, all those sorts of things. Over the years, in those 11 years, I've sort of seen the prison population ageing a little bit. And talking about it with the chaplain and that, seems that a lot of the baby boomers, the people who got into drugs and that in the hippie era and what have you, some of the things are now starting to come back to roost with them. You know, they've built up sufficient points or what have you, and done enough little things that now they've sort of accumulated. And so I guess they're probably sort of, the main age is 30 to 40, but whereas before we were sort of seeing it was probably 25 to 35. So it is getting a little bit older there. There's lots of Kuris, lots of islanders, lots of Asian people. It seems to change. You know, so some years we seem to have lots of Vietnamese. One year we had a lot of Vietnamese. Other years we have lots of Kuris in there. At the moment it seems to be mainly white Anglo-Saxons, you know. There's always the other bits and pieces in there as well. Our programs are open to anybody. You don't have to be Christian to attend. We have had to run on the short course, you have to be selected by the chaplain. So we've had Muslims before, we've had Buddhists, we've had JAWs, we've had atheists, we've had agnostics, we've had nominal Christians, a lot of those, and we've had some born-again believers attending. Often the motive to come along is food, you know, okay. We actually feed them, so they don't get the prison food. We actually cater for them there. And we've made it easier for ourselves now, so we're getting a lot of takeaway stuff. So the guys love that. So we'll have Kentucky Fried Chicken one day, and we'll have Chinese one day, and we'll have barbecue chicken another day. And the ladies do some salads and things like that, fruit platters. Yeah. So that's one of the attractions. Lots of biscuits, you know, they pig out on the biscuits and what have you. Boredom's another thing. The guys are locked away in their cells for a lot of time, you know. Most of their time is spent locked in a cell, especially over weekends and that. You get bored, you know, not much to do. Or because they've heard good things about us, okay, yeah. Not a bad bunch, those Kairos guys, yeah, good place to be. Not necessarily then because they want to find out more about Christianity. Now, often by the end of it, they are intrigued and they actually do want to find out more. And the other thing is, often there's not a high standard of education, but we have had, the last one, we had a university lecturer. We've had solicitors, obviously. We don't ever ask what you're in for. That's one of the no-nos. If they want to tell us, they're fine. But you know, the solicitor, I think, might have been a bit of fraud in there and what have you. We've had businessmen. In fact, if I look around the room at the guys in the room, you know, there's not much difference between us and them often. They've been caught. Any questions?
Why are you going every once a week, or is it a block that you're
doing? Yeah, okay, that'll lead nicely into my next little bit. What actually happens in the ministry? Okay, so I will answer it. In short, we go in every fortnight, okay, but I'll explain why in a moment. Kairos is designed to be run in came from America. It's designed to be run in maximum security prisons. In America, if you're in prison, you're often there for a long time. There's a lot of life sentences and what have you. We are not doing it in the maximum security, I guess, because the jail, they've said no, run it in minimum, because it would be a lot more hassle to run it in there. It would be stricter, the things that we could take in and what have you would be a lot sort of harder. So it's designed as a program where people are there for a long time, and so it should be a short course and then followed by a journey program running every couple of weeks, and the guys sort of starting to become their own community. But because we're in minimum security, there is turnover, so there's always people coming in and going out. So we can't necessarily start with a short course and start with that group of guys and keep them through, because the next week somebody will have left. You know, the next week another person will have left. But so by the end of 12 months we would have nobody left. So we open up our journey to anybody who wants to come along. So the Kairos strategy really is to identify leaders within the institutions. Now, they can be positive leaders, they can be negative leaders, but people who can have an influence or an impact, and invite those people along to the short course. Now, that short course, as we've talked about a little bit about it before, it's a 40-hour short course in Christianity where they're introduced to the Kairos community. And it consists of carefully coordinated talks, discussions, chapel meditations, and music, all led by the volunteer team. It's useful to think of it as a series of carefully planned events that flow from one to another. A lot of thought over a lot of time has gone into this program. And for the participants, that experience may create a desire in them to become a Christian. For others, it may create a desire to continue their own personal spiritual growth. And for others, nothing at all, made no difference. At the conclusion of the short course, the guys return to their compound, where the Christian community is usually a minority. There might be one or two other Christians in the minimum security area. So many of the residents will soon find themselves missing that fellowship and the relationship that they had with Christians on that course, which they enjoyed. Most of them will avoid establishing vulnerable relationships with other residents, because that really puts you at a disadvantage. In prison, it's not like out here. In prison, you are always watching your back. You always have to be careful what you say. You have to not let yourself appear weak. You have to stand up for yourself. So it is very difficult to be a Christian in that environment. Yet in other ways, it is easy to be a Christian, because you have lots of time. You have lots of time for thinking and reading the Bible and praying and doing those sorts of things. But being overtly Christian and, you know, treating others, you know, doing good for others and that is hard, because others will take advantage of you in that place. So that's difficult. So our job is not to become the primary support for these guys. Our job is really to build them up so that they can form a community themselves. But to help support them, we go in every fortnight and run what we call a journey program, because they are going on a journey. And that is open to anyone. They don't have to be selected. So the chaplain will go up. We come in every fortnight. The chaplain will go up and she'll make an announcement. The Kairos team is here. And the guys, anyone who wants to come, will come along. So
How many include the prisoners?
There we can take as many come.
Yeah, but what's the average?
What's the average? Okay. Last Thursday it was three. So obviously some had left, there are other things on. Sometimes there's a footy game on, or a barbecue, or they've got to do a course or something like that. The week before, we had a good turnout, and there were about 17. The number of team that will go in will vary. We want to have about six at minimum, we might have, say, 10 go in. So, sort of six to ten people on the team will go in. And what we do on those journey programs is we will have some worship, we'll have some songs. The guys actually quite like singing, but they're not very good at it, but they'll enjoy it, and they'll be loud, out of time and what have you, but that's all right. And then we'll have a short talk on some Christian sort of topic, at some topic. Often forgiveness comes up. Then we'll break and we'll go and form some tables and we'll have a discussion. We'll have a cuppa, we'll have some biscuits, something to eat, and what have you. We'll talk about whatever they want to talk about or talking about the talk. Finish up with prayer and some more worship. Often we will find guys coming along. They're just about at the end out of their sentence. They know they're getting out in a fortnight's time, and they will come along because they will want us to pray for them for going out, which is interesting. Yeah. So all sorts of things. Any questions at that stage? I know I've been talking a long time. I'm nearly there. Okay. Does it make a difference? Okay. A couple of things. From this year's short course, okay, one of the guys commented that his concept of Christianity was okay to be baptised, be confirmed, then to go occasionally to church for big events in life like getting married or funerals. So a personal relationship with God was something new to him. So he discovered that, that's what Christianity is all about, a personal relationship. At the closing ceremony, we have an open mic, and the men are invited to say what the week has meant to them. Surprised at the last one was surprising and encouraging to see two of the quietest men speak confidently and with joy. From being shy and being able to only hold a short conversation early in the week, to having the courage to actually stand and speak in front of visitors and everything was a sign of personal growth. So it may not have been Christian growth, but it was personal growth. The chaplain gave us this bit of feedback. She said, the manager of one of the industries, I should explain what industries are, the guys in minimum security are able to work. So they work within the prison, so they go out of that section behind the razor wire. They're still behind a fence and everything, but they go down to an area where there are demountables. And one of the industries there is that in the demountables, they can be welders or they can be painters or they can be electricians or they can be the people who put the finishing touches on and what have you, and they put these demountables together again. So that's the industry, and they get paid a small amount, and they're able to, at their buy-up, they're able to buy, some toothpaste or something to eat or, some shoes or little things like that. So when I say the manager of one of the industries stopped me to ask what we did with one of the inmates that went to Kairos. His words, the manager's words, was the effect, "What did you do to him?" I sent along someone who was belligerent, sulky, couldn't do a day's work, and he came back pleasant, diligent, and is quickly turning into one of my best workers. So that was a So the guards notice the difference. They notice that there is a change in these guys who come along. A couple of years ago, we had a bikie. His name happened to be Wayne as well. And he was very impressed on the short course. He saw the life that we were living, the way that we were. He heard us talking about this Jesus that we loved and this Christianity, and he wanted it. He wanted that, and he had serious conversations. He sort of went round with everybody having conversations, everyone on the team, I think, and having conversations. I want to change. I want this. I've been in jail for 11 years, you know, as a bikie. He said, my problem is I will get out of jail. The bikies will pick me up. I cannot leave that because they will bash me to an inch of my death. I want to change. I can see that this is a life that I want, but I can't. How can I do it? So we were sort of talking about, you know, having to move, you know, they're away completely and what have you from where he was and what have you. But there was no easy answer. He wanted to change, but they weren't going to let him. They won't let go of him. This year, first time that I've known it in 11 years I've been going, one of the guys got baptised in the jail. His name is Junior, or Robert. He got baptised. One of the other inmates acted as his sponsor, his godparent. You know, he was a believer, and this guy had made a decision, and he wanted to get baptised. So he got baptised by the chaplain. Now, again, he's an adult. To stand up and to do that in the jail shows, you know, a fair bit of faith. And lastly, here's a testimony that from an inmate who went through the Kairos program. This is what he wrote in a letter to us. I can never repay Kairos for what it has done for me. I came to the Kairos short course filled with hate, anger and deceit. I only came because I heard that there would be good food, but I didn't want anybody in my face about God. But as I began to hear these men talk about how God loved me so much that he sent Jesus, his own son, to die in my place so that I would be free, something started to happen to me. I began to experience a kind of love that I had never seen or felt before. I now understood that it was the love of God offered to me by his people. I made a mess of my life and ended up in prison. My family abandoned me and society had written me off. I was worthless and I felt that way. Life had lost all meaning for me. I was like a balloon with nothing inside. But these Kairos men fed me with the word of God, and now I hunger after him. Amen. I will be forever grateful to Kairos for showing me that the way to freedom is through the cross of Christ. Pretty powerful. Any questions? Okay, we've got another Bible reading, I think. I should check out that one, you should.
Thank you, Bruce. On the last page. I thought we might read this little passage from Hebrews all together as a prayer and as a reflection, as an instruction, as an encouragement. So, are we ready?
Keep on loving each other as brothers and sisters. And don't forget to show hospitality to strangers. For some who have done this have entertained angels without realizing it. Remember those in prison as if you were there yourself. Remember those who have been mistreated as if you felt their pain in your own bodies.
So, Hebrews closes with instructions and encouragement for the Christian community to hold fast to true faith in Jesus Christ. And amidst those concluding exhortations is a challenging one for us. Verse 3. Remember those in prison as if you were their fellow prisoners. We as a church do most of the other things on the list, such as loving each other as brothers, honouring marriage, keeping our lives free from the love of money, and remembering and imitating our leaders. But how do we go with remembering those in prison? You might think to yourself, well, that's all well and good, but I wouldn't feel comfortable entering a prison and talking to prisoners. That's not for me. Are there other ways I can support those who are ministering to prisoners and fulfil those Bible sort of passages? Yes, there are, particularly when we run the short courses. I can't tell you when we've run the one for this year. I can't tell you when we're running it next year. The chaplain's away at the moment. We've got to wait for her to come back to sort out the date and everything. But there is a great need for the outside Christian community to show practical agape love to those in prison. When the guys in prison realise that there are people outside who don't even know them, that are praying for them, that have made biscuits for them, that have written letters for them, it blows them away. We actually have a big sheet in it with the prayer roster on it. And just, okay, so at 5 to 11, you know, between 10:30 and 11, Jeff was praying for you. At 11:30, Judy's praying for you. You know, they think, wow, somebody out there who cares for me. So,
I've got a little handout here.
On it, it's got just a little bit where you can go for some more information. A couple of websites there for Kairos Prison Ministry in Australia and the international one. There's a, if you want to pray for Kairos short courses throughout the world, there's an address there that you can just go into and go in and you can and click on a course that's running somewhere and you can put yourself down to pray for somebody. Practical ways, making biscuits, and I've just put a couple of things down there. Because you're in prison, you forget about what the restrictions are. For example, I can't go in with a name tag on me that's got a pin on it. I can't take metal in with me. We can't take a USB stick, you know, with our songs on it to play. Our biscuits can't have icing sugar on them. They can't have bits of fruit in them. Why not? Well, the powder could be drugs, or the powder could be, if it's icing sugar, how do you make alcohol? Sugar and fruit. So if the biscuits have got fruit on the top or bits of fruit that you can dig out and that, you can collect those and can collect the sugar. There's no sugar in jar for our tea or coffee. We have to have sweeteners and things like that. There are restrictions in that place, and that's why we have to train people up to go in, you know, so you don't accidentally break the rules. When there are, you know, if you take in contraband, you know, there's... You end up in prison yourself. So forget your mobile phone and have it in your pocket. That's 2 years prison for you. Matches, cigarettes, you know, take those in. Well, you know, that's good currency. So if you are interested, let me know. You don't have to do it now. You can just send me an email or ring me up. And I'll just put you on our list so that next time the short course comes up, I'll send an email out to you and say, we're looking for people to pray in these sort of slots, or if you can make biscuits, or, you know, you can write letters. Writing letters there, I've given a couple of little hints because you don't know who you're writing for. It's just a short little You know, some people do it on a card, or, you know, a postcard, or just a little A4 sheet or what have you. It doesn't have to be big. Address it to dear friend. It's a letter of encouragement. It's not the sort of thing, yeah, you're in prison and you are, I hope you learned something there because you deserve to be, or whatever. It's not that sort of thing. It's encouraging them. It's, yeah, hope you've had a great time on the Kairos short course, and I'm, you know, we're praying for all of you guys, and, you know, hope you've discovered that, you know, Jesus, love of Jesus, that sort of thing. You can't seal up the letters. You can't put anything in them, you know, because nothing in, nothing out into a prison. We can't take in bits of paper or anything like that. You can't give them things. So they have to, the letters have to be open so that they can be checked by the prison authorities if necessary. Okay, any questions? No, I'll finish up with a prayer. I'll go back to my little book, Freedom Guide, and I'll have another piece of prayer just to finish up. This one I've just chosen to finish up with is a prayer to Christ the prisoner. I've picked it out not because it particularly applies to us, but think of the power of this prayer. These guys are prisoners, and we're just sort of reminding them that Jesus was a prisoner, and they think that they've got it tough in prison and hard done by because they've, you know, restricted and what have you. But you think about Jesus and what he went through. So this is a prayer to Christ the prisoner. Lord, because you wanted to save the world, you decided for the following things to happen. Although you were God, you became a man born of a virgin. You were circumcised. You were rejected by your neighbours. You were betrayed by a close friend, traitor. You were cuffed and shackled and led stumbling to court. You were forced to stand in front of judges and prosecutors with no attorney to help you. You were accused by lying, paid witnesses. You were tortured with beatings, insults and whippings. You had men spit in your face. You had sharp thorns shoved into your scalp. You were punched in the face and sticks beat your body and head. You were not allowed any medical treatment. You were blindfolded, had all of your clothes stripped off your body, and were forced to carry the thing you were to be killed with almost half a mile. You were nailed through your hands and feet to a heavy piece of wood. You hung on the cross between two criminals in front of the whole city, your family and friends. You were offered bitter wine to dry drink, had a spear shoved into your side, and were left to die with no appeal. Lord, you willingly allowed these things to happen to save the world and to save me. When I think of these things that happened to you, your sufferings, I ask that you bring me to the same paradise to which you brought the thief who was killed with you. All he asked of you was to be forgiven. This I ask also. Amen.